and wicked men can be. Well, instead of seeing God in the stone, yes, they saw how they could have a chance to wine and dine. Oh, Lord, they saw how they had a chance to huff and puff. And they saw how they had a chance to joke and jest. Yeah, and no doubt they had a little laying and a little playing. My God, and I heard somebody saying, well, this storm probably can't last for so long. No, what we can do is play us a little bid whiz. My God, and I see them in my mind's eye saying, come on and deal the cards. Yeah, and I see them dealing out all of the cards. And no doubt they put up a six-card kitty with the little and the small joker, and they began bidding all around the table. Oh, yes, they did. Somebody said, I bid four special. I heard them say, no, I bid a five high card. Yeah, somebody else said, I bid a five no trump. I heard them say, no, I bid a six card special. Yeah, now they got their cards and began playing their hand. The water began to rise. I wish I had somebody here play with me just a little while, children. Oh, yes, they did. But they kept on playing. Oh, yes, they did. And the water came around their knees. Yeah, they kept on playing. And the water came up around their waist. Did you hear what I'm saying? And when they couldn't hold their hands, I heard them saying, where is Noah? Oh, Lord. Oh, you know how we are. Long as everything is all right, we don't care about the preacher. Bump all that church stuff. But when things go wrong, when recession time come, when the terrorists start booming, we want to know where's the preacher. Yes, we do. I heard him sing, where is Noah? Yeah. Somebody said, I saw him down on that ark down yonder. You better go down and get him. Yeah. But how can we get there? You know what they said. We got just one way. Oh, Lord. I see him swimming in my mind's eyes. Going down to where the ark was. Can't you see them, children? Going down and dipping. Coming up with a breaststroke. Every now and then, as they got closer to the ark, they began bamming and knocking on the door. And I heard him call Noah by his name. Yeah, Noah. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Oh, Noah. Let me in. Let me in. Let me in, let me in, Noah, let me in. But Noah did not say one mumbling word. I wonder if I got a witness here. They called him a little louder. Yeah, Noah, thank you, Holy Ghost. Let me in. But you see now, Noah wasn't trying to act funny, and he wasn't trying to be arrogant. He was just saying, I don't hear nothing, because God shut him in. I wonder if I got a witness here. I'm going under my seat now, children. Yes. Yeah. Yes. a whole lot of masses and a whole lot of classes. You got Democrats and you got Republicans. You got Protestants and you got Catholics. You got liberals and you got conservatives. You got Dove, you got a hawk. You got white folks, you got black folks. But when you get through with your class, it's not but two class of people. It's not but two that really matter. The saved and the unsaved. I wonder if I got a witness here. I'm saved. I wonder if I got a witness here. Thank God. Thank God I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. God, I'm saved. Are you glad? I said, are you glad? If you're glad you're saved, say yes. Say yes. Oh, yeah. I'm saved. We'll get down to one more year. Oh, my months will come down to one more month. Oh, my hours will get down to one more hour. All of my moments will come down to one more moment. But I'm not worried about it. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, by the grace of God. Yes, that old, that I opened the door to church, old school, ship out Zion. Tis the old. Ship out Zion. Come on, y'all ain't forgot. Help me say, get on board. Get on board. Ain't no. No danger in the water. You know how come? I mean, Jesus. Ain't no danger. Hey, hey. Oh, in the water. Ain't no danger. In the water. Come on, help me. Get on. Get on board. Get on.
Hope, you were were blessed and revived by the KAYT Gospel Hour as we venture back in the past for a time of revival with oldies and goodies in sermon and song.
Lead me on. Oh, he's a wonder in my
ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, and we will commence reading at verse 20, Philippians chapter 4. There you will find these words. Amen. Philippians. Come on, Bible. My Bible is switched up on me. Amen. This is the only danger of getting so accustomed to using your phone as a Bible. Amen. Give me that. Give me your scripture there. It's done left my Bible. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to start reading at verse 20. Amen. Amen. All right, here we go. Verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 21. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. Now unto God, you may be seated. And our Father, be glory forever and ever. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. For just a moment this morning, I want to talk about the fact that we are called to be saints. Amen. We are called to be saints. And it's very important, my brothers and sisters, if you have been saved and sanctified, called out of darkness into the marvelous light, if you have been born again, it's very important that we understand, amen, that you have been called to be a saint. Thank you, ushers. Thank you. Amen. Called to be saints. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Now, most of us, when we hear the word saint, And if the question would come to you, are you a saint? Some of us have concluded that to be a saint means that you are some super spiritual person. Many have concluded that to be a saint means that you're super holy. Amen. You're super spiritual. In other words, you've got it together better than somebody else. Amen. But I want us to leave here today understanding that to be a saint has nothing to do with how saved you are. As a matter of fact, there are no degrees to salvation. In other words, you know, you can't be more saved than somebody else. Excuse my English, but either you is or either you ain't. Saved, that is, all right? And it's the same thing when we talk about being a saint. Don't let, you know, because I grew up, and thank God for the Church of God in Christ, wonderful body of believers. But when I grew up, I had this misconception that only Church of God in Christ folk were sanctified. You know, we even called it the sanctified church. But if the truth would be told, amen, they ain't no more sanctified than us over here. And we're not more sanctified than anybody over there. We all got some stuff that needs to be worked on. Thank you, choir. Please be patient with me. God is, come on, where are my folk that can testify? God ain't through with me yet. Some of you didn't raise your hand, but I know God ain't through with you yet, because if he was through with you, you'd be up and out of here. If you're still here, that suggests that there's some more work that needs to be done, all right? God is preparing us for a prepared place. And so to be a saint then, as it relates to what Paul is talking about in these closing verses of Philippians chapter 4, simply means that you are a believer. It means that you have faith, amen, in Christ Jesus for your salvation. Now, the Roman Catholic Church has a whole other concept of sainthood. As a matter of fact, in Roman Catholicism, they have a detailed process for conferring sainthood. First of all, you've got to die before you can be a saint in the Catholic Church. When someone becomes a saint, the Catholic Church appoints a feast day. They dedicate churches and altars, and they display statues and pictures in your honor. That is what it means to be a saint in the Catholic Church. They even venerate the person's relics. They pray to that person publicly. In the Catholic Church, you have to go through the processes of beatification and canonization in order to become a saint. If the Pope includes you in the canon of saints, the judgments reached in this process are said to be infallible. It's an unbeatable method when you look at it for honoring virtuous and sacrificial Christian living. I think that the Catholic Church is looking at making Mother Teresa a saint. They may have conferred it upon her already. I don't know. But one of the last things that had to be proven was whether or not she performed any miracles. And so that's what it means to be a saint in the Catholic Church. And y'all, that all sounds real good, but I come by to tell you, it ain't biblical. I said it's not biblical. And the good news is that everybody sitting in here, if you're not a saint, you have an opportunity before we leave here today to be a saint if you will give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said that, you know, it's not what you call me, it's what I answer to. And I want to take that a step further and tell you that really is bigger than even that. It's more than what they call you. It's more than what you answer to. We really need to learn how to be identified by what God calls us. And we discover in the Bible that God calls us saints. That means we can stop running around talking about, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I mean, there's some truth to that, but that ain't what God don't call us sinners. Once we become Christians, once we accept Christ as our Savior, I'm no longer classified in heaven as a sinner. God is looking at me saying, that's one of my saints. That's one of my saints. Come on, where's that? I'm not talking about who that saints. I'm talking about saints of the Most High God. And so I submit to you today that there is more truth about sainthood in these closing verses of Philippians than in the entire Roman Catholic doctrine of sainthood. Paul does not define Christian sainthood in this passage. He really assumes it.
like I told y'all last Sunday, amen, about being salt. The Lord was not telling us that we ought to be salt. He was not telling us that we should be salt. He was telling us that we are right now in him, the salt of the earth. And Paul is telling us the same thing this morning, that God ain't calling us to be saints. He's not expecting that we would become saints. But if you name the name of Christ, if you're one of his children, if you live in him and move in him and have your being in him, then right now you are a saint of the Most High God. But in these verses here, in verse 21, notice that Paul says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. You don't have to be a paradigm of virtue to be a saint. You don't have to be a historic Christian figure to be a saint. And you don't have to have supernatural or miraculous power or events associated with your life to be a saint. You are a saint if you are in Christ Jesus. Well, you don't believe me? Check the Bible record. Over in Corinthians, y'all, Corinthians was a rough church. They were divided over who was going to lead the church. One of the members was in an adulterous relationship, watch this, with his stepmother in the church. Members were taking one another to court over financial disputes in the church. People were getting drunk during the Lord's Supper. Prominent teachers were denying the resurrection from the dead. The church at Corinth was the most sinful and worldly church in the New Testament. Yet in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, Paul addressed them by saying, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who are in every place, call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So get that notion out of your head that you got to somehow be super holy to be called a saint. Now, we all ought to be striving for super holiness. We all ought to be striving to be everything God wants us to be and to live. We ought to be striving to live a perfect life. But let me tell you, not only does living a perfect life not make you a saint, living a perfect life won't get you in heaven. I know I got some Bible readers who know what I'm saying is right. If it were not for the blood of Jesus, I don't care how perfect you think you are. I don't care, amen, how right you think you are. Nothing but the blood of Jesus will get me into heaven. Come on. Nothing but the shed blood of Christ and my faith in him will have me in a position where I can live with him forever. So, every person who has trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord is a saint. Saints are not good people. Saints are bad people who have been redeemed by a good God. That's what makes us different, y'all, from every other religion. Amen. Amen. We are in him. Have you ever heard a Muslim say, I'm in Muhammad? Have you ever heard a Buddhist say, I'm in Buddha? Confucius? A Hindu? Amen. You've never heard them claim to be in Confucius or in Buddha or in Muhammad. But we, the people of the Most High God, those of us who are Christians, what makes us different is that when God looks at me, he don't look at me all by myself. He sees me in his son. He sees me in light of what Jesus did on the cross. He sees me in him. So I submit to you today that I'm a saint. And it ain't because I've been so good. It ain't because I got it all right. But I'm in him. Amen. Can I tell you something else? You better be careful how you treat me. Because I'm in him. when you get ready to put your mouth on one of his saints, you better be very careful, because when you start talking about me, you ain't just talking about pastor. You're talking about the one I'm in. I'm in Christ. Amen. That's why the Bible says, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm, because I'm in him. And I just believe some of you would quit cussing so much. Letting folk get you all your blood pressure up, and you done acted a plum, amen, whatever word goes there. Start looking at your enemies and your haters and telling them, I'm not going to let you worry me. I'm not going to let you upset me, because I'm in him. And guess what? Whenever you see a picture of God in the Bible, you don't ever see him running from anybody. You don't ever see him, amen, hiding behind trees or nothing like that. As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelations, when you see God, the Bible says he's sitting on the throne. He ain't pacing the floor. He's not looking over his shoulder. He's just sitting on the throne. Do you know why he's sitting there? He's sitting there because he knows he's got it all in control. And how many of us would have more peace in our life? How many of us would be able to handle situations better if we realized that in him, it's going to work out? I ought to have at least three folk on this side who can testify. Preacher, you're right. You're right. I found out I was troubled and couldn't sleep and had to take pills to get up and pills to go to bed. But once I realized that the word is right and that in him, it's going to work out. Come on, where are my folk who know he can work it out? Sister Jaleesa used to sing a song with the choir, say, he may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. He will work it out. The first point I want to get to is the goal of the saint. What is our goal? Since we know what a saint is, if you're in Christ and if he's in you, then you're a saint. Since we know that, what is our goal? What is our purpose as saints? Well, it's right here in the text. Philippians chapter 4, verse 20 is a doxology. What is a doxology, Pastor? A doxology is a statement of praise in response to the revelation of God. In other words, when you get a revelation in your spirit about who God is, someone on the inside is going to say, I got to praise him. You know, come on, whenever he reveals himself to you in a new way, amen, something on the inside says, I got to praise him. See, I had to learn, because growing up, I grew up in this church, and I can remember when I was a youngster in this church, and I'd see old ladies shout. Sometimes their wig would come off. One lady would shout, and she had a purse, and if you were anywhere in range of that purse, amen, Sister Oberia might get you. But see, I didn't know like they knew what God is able to do. And so when God reveals himself to you in a new way, you ought to have a new praise. If you've never been sick and had the Lord to extricate you from your sickness, then when somebody gets up and starts shouting, saying he's a healer, he's a doctor that never lost a case, you're not shouting because you ain't never been sick. But where are my folk that have ever been sick and the Lord has come in and healed your body? When he reveals himself to you in a new way, you ought to have a new praise. If you've never been in trouble and the Lord has come in, yeah, you had a good lawyer on this side, but you found out that the lawyer that you really needed was Lawyer Jesus. And you got in trouble and the Lord came in and delivered you out of your mess, your own mess. You found out that you ought to have a new praise. You know, praise team. Oh, I thank God for our praise team. But there are some moments in my life when the praise team ain't around. And I'm telling y'all, I can be in Walmart without the praise team, without Brother Mike on the keyboard, and get to thinking about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. And if I'm not careful, I can have church in Walmart. Oh, see, y'all don't know. Y'all don't know. Amen, amen, amen. Let your credit get bad enough. And you don't want a loan, baby. You need a loan. And you get in there to that bank, and they run your FICO score. You already done run it, and you know it's low, it's low. How low can you go get low? It's real low. But after filling out the paperwork and all of that, the banker comes back and says, you got the loan. Where are my folk who know if you ain't careful, church can break out in the bank. And so in this doxology, which is, again, is a statement of praise, in response to the revelation of God, I suppose Paul paused before writing this verse, contemplating all he had written in this letter, culminating with the promise of verse 19. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And so when Paul